I welcome you for our last session together. We call this on the a schedule, entering the new year with strength. Behind this title is a sincere effort to find some orientation which might be helpful for us and which can accompany us like a good guide throughout the next year. Now, this is a mighty project. This is a big project. And I do not claim that I will be able to address each single one in great detail. Obviously, everyone will have to find his own motto, his own guiding light, his own, inspiration, really, on his or her own. But with this last session, I do hope that I can start a process in you which will make it easier for you to find your own guiding light, so to say, your inspiration. I would like to start with remembering with you a morning walk which Srila Prabhupada had done. I believe it was on the town is called Laguna Beach, but I forgot the exact name of the beach. It's in California. And Srila Prabhupada had invited one of his female disciples to talk with him during the morning walk. Her name was Lilavati, and she had just given birth to a little baby which she carried with one of these baby carriages which help the mother to keep the child just very close to her. And Prabhupada had noticed and asked her a question. What is better, he asked, the yogi way or the cat way? Oh, the monkey way, I'm sorry. The monkey way or the cat way? And for Lilavati, both sounded equally difficult. Monkey way and cat way, what is better? She said, Prabhupada, I do not understand. And then Prabhupada explained about the respective ways. I think you must have heard this already. Maybe you've heard this from me. In the meantime, I had some time to study the behavior of the monkeys, the monkey mamas. When a monkey mother has her child, emotionally she is not very close to the child. That shows in the way she carries her child. She lets the child be quite alone and is not really protecting it or looking after it. And when she wants to go, she will make a sign, and it's up to the child to come close enough and jump on the monkey mother's back. Sometimes when they keep their children also here on the chest, but when they travel fast, they always have the child on the back, because otherwise the movements would be impaired, not be so easily possible. And if it happens, and that happens unfortunately, or maybe if it wouldn't happen, we would even have more monkeys. If it happens that the child cannot grab onto the mother any longer and falls, the mother will just let it lie on the ground and die. Or maybe, who knows what happens, maybe a branch care worker comes by and picks the monkey up, which is also unlikely. And that's the monkey way. Now the cat way is different. There is some concern, some affection there. And as soon as the little baby just makes a little meow or whatever it sounds like, the strong monkey mother, the strong cat mother will come and grab the little kitten by its neck, and its bite or grasp is so firm that, you know, they are inseparably connected now, and the monkey mother will somehow it's still the neural pathways are still not working. So from now on it will be correct. The cat mother will do everything in its abilities or capabilities to carry her kitten. So what is better in the sense of what is safer? Prabhupada asked Lilavati. Lilavati said, Prabhupada, the monkey way seems to be more safe. And then Prabhupada said, the yogis are trying to climb on the back of the absolute truth and somehow hold on the to the truth with their own feeble strengths. Whereas the devotee just throws his arms in the air, and Prabhupada, while walking, made like this, this gesture of surrender, and says, my dear Lord, please save me. And the Lord immediately comes to his aid. This is, I would say, the distinguishing feature of Krishna consciousness and the many spiritual paths which we hear of nowadays. Yoga with the exercises, starting with the exercises, but going into breathing and then controlling the mind and focusing the mind and then finally stilling the mind and entering into a state of samadhi, deep absorption. That's a very serious path, and there are many who practice yoga and who are not going far beyond the physical exercises. Movements like positive thinking or the power of now or mindfulness and various mindfulness-based practices, all helpful in their own line. But it depends very much on the practitioner and his own, let us say, ability to push his own borders a little bit back or a lot back by their practices. In bhakti, we do not rely on our own strengths. We really rely on the strengths of the Lord. And that is, I think, quite difficult for Westerners to understand. And quite difficult to nachvollziehen, to really apply in one's life. This letting go and surrendering to Krishna. I would like to give you an interesting example. Have you ever been pulling ropes with your friends? You know, there's one person on one side of the rope who pulls, and then there's you on the other side who pulls in the opposite direction to see who is the stronger. Have you ever been in this situation as children? I think all children do, no? Now imagine you as a grown-up. Somehow you are alone on one side of the rope. And there is a whole football team on the other side pulling. And it's, how do you call this in English? Is it a tug of war or a tug of war? Yeah, yes, tug, thank you. Our child knows, yes, Tauziehen in Deutsch, no? Attack of war. So quite aggressive in the English language. And you are applying the newest technologies and skills. You dig your heels into the ground, you lean back more and more and more and more until you're almost like, you know, if this is the ground, you're almost like this, pulling and you're using your arms in the best possible way. You have a grip in between the different strands of the rope and so on. But still, it's a football team on the other side. Now imagine at this moment your spiritual master would come to you, or Prabhupada would come to you, and he would say, let go of the rope. In this way you will be victorious in this struggle. You would say, this is not an option, this is not a possibility. Do you understand? This is a serious tug of war. It's very serious. But he would say, let go and go home and eat some nice prasadam. And you would say, no, I have to win against this football team. And he would say, you can't win against this football team. It's stronger than you. They also know many techniques and skills. In the end, you will not be able to endure. And you can go home and read the Bhagavatam and chant the holy names and so on. And you would say, actually, he's right. My hands are already bleeding. I'm losing strength. And, and you let go of the rope. And the other side just flies on the ground and shouts, thank you. And then you go home and you say, this is not for me. I'm too old for this. And you go home, you wash your hands, you maybe put some cream on the hands. After all, you were in a tug of war. And you do something which makes sense. Eating, taking a fresh shower, maybe eating, and just letting go. My dear devotees, this analogy, as simple as it may seem to be, points us to a very profound reality. We are all so attached to do things on our own. And due to our attachments, to our way of thinking, we are often engaging in a needless, let me repeat, a needless, let me repeat in German language, a völlig unnötigen struggle in material existence. It is only our materially influenced mind, you could give a better word for it, our sanskaras, which we have somehow learned from the beginning of our education in this world, which tells us we must be attached to our way. That struggle against the material nature, that struggle against our karma, at the end you will always lose it. You might have some little things, you know, some you might make a career, you might win some little things, but these very things will make you even more attached, more bound. And in this way, latest at the moment when you have to leave all this behind by force, by death, you will regret. The German mystic Meister Eckhart, was once asked how should a spiritual person be? How would he be? What would he be like? A spiritual person, a lover of God. And he answered by saying he would be dead. Now don't hear superficially. He didn't speak of physical death, you know, when the soul leaves the body. He spoke in his way of speaking about he would let go of the attachments to his way before death would anyways take it away or take them away by force. By force. It's not pleasant to be separated from something by force. He would let go immediately. So, but that's not yet the cat way. That's the way of the reformed monkey, you know, who doesn't struggle any longer. But what Bhakti has to offer is much more than the insights of modern psychology. Let go of the things, let go mostly of your mind, your mind, not the way you think, the way you are attached. Bhakti adds something to this. Let go, yes, but before you let go, hold on to something much superior, to something much more valuable, to something unlimitedly powerful, that is, hold on to Krishna's lotus feet. Do you understand? To let go of a lower attachment, you first need to develop a higher attachment. Attached you must be. It's the constitutional position. Yes, for some time you may be able to let go and detach yourself if you have sanskaras for renunciation. But it is much, much, much more easy when you are attached to something positive. Prabhupada used to tell to us, when a person suffers from a disease and lies in bed, it's not just enough that the disease goes out of the body. It's important that the health comes back into the body and he starts his real activities outside the bed, meeting friends, you know, and doing all the things which one does when one is healthy. So bhakti is the third way. It's not enjoying maya, it's not becoming detached from maya. No, it is becoming attached to Krishna, the third way. And that has a lot, a very lot, or much to do with what we were discussing, what you see still upside on the ceiling, and which I hope you got. Did every one of you get a key yesterday? If there are some who did not get, I think we will have a few more. Yes. Krishna came to teach the third way. He came at a very difficult time when there was really an overload of demoniac forces in this world. It was too much. There were, if you read in the Mahabharata, there were these powerful egocentric kings like Yarasandha and the king of Bhagadat. Oh my God, was Bhagadat terrible. He lived in the northern Himalayas, and they had these terrible war elephants, and when they would descend into the plains, women had to run and people had to run. There were just so many, I don't want to use the name of the American president because he seems to be more a fool than anything, but there were so many really powerful demoniac kings who were holding a grip on planet Earth, which was so terrible. They squeezed Mother Earth so much that she couldn't find any solution. She took the third way and she prayed to Krishna for help, and Krishna heard her and appeared. And then there was maybe at the highlight of his mission, of part of his mission to take care of Dharma, he assembled all these kings on the battlefield, and there was a huge, huge cleaning of Mother Earth going on in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. There's a very interesting work for those of you who are interested in detail. It is written by Ramanuja, a powerful pandit from the Ramanuja Sampradaya, also a devotee, Vaishnava. The book is called Those 18 Days. And you will find at the beginning of the battle a totally distraught Bhishma, grandfather Bhishma. He had given an oath. He had given his life to protect this vast empire of the Kuros. But now the very leaders of this empire had behaved so irreligiously that they had pulled a lady who needed protection more than anything because she was in her days. They had pulled her in the public assembly and then started to disrobe her. This is how much the moral had gone down, that this was possible in the highest political party quarters of planet Earth. It is as if, you know, we have the Bundestag, you know, Bundestag, the parliament, German parliament, and then they somehow capture a protectionist lady who is maybe I don't even want to go too much into this because my fantasy in the morning is quite not good. But take an empress, the first lady of another country, bring her there and then do the unspeakable to her in the public, in the parliament, then you know this is the end of Germany. if this would happen. So Bhishma knew it, but he had given the oath he would take care of the Kauravas to the land to the end of his breath. And now they behaved so much and didn't give anything to the Pandavas, but quite oppositely, they had made so many crimes against the Pandavas, unspeakable crimes, who should be the rightful heirs to the kingdom. Bhishma ran up and down in his tent. Chuk, 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 chuk. What should I do? And it was so bad with him that finally Ganga appeared and said, "My son, why are you so miserable?" And Bhishma said, Ganga is the mother of Bhishma. I don't know what I should do. If I stay on the side of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, I will be part of Adhama, although I protect my own Dharma. My Dharma was to give the oath, I will protect this kingdom. I would fight against the Pandavas who are dear to my heart. But how can I now run over to the Pandavas? I would break my oath. I would be totally opportunistic. I would seem to be totally opportunistic. But what gives me even more pain is, if I fight on the side of the Kauravas, I will have to go against Krishna, who is with the Pandavas. I don't know. Ganga said, you have to speak with Krishna and ask him for an advice. And then on that night, this is in, Krishna came to Bhishma, said, Bhishma, you are in misery, right? You can't fight on the side of the Kauravas, Duryodhana. You can't also fight on the side of the Pandavas. Yes, exactly, said Bhishma. I would break all my principles. And a man without principles is nothing if I would run over now, one day before the battle, to the side of the Pandavas. Oh, said Krishna, that is difficult, isn't it? Bhishma started to cry, and Krishna started to smile, like he is. Krishna's beyond this. He said, "There's a third way." There's a third way? Yes. Engage in my service. Fight for me. And what would that mean? I have set up all this. I am behind everything which happens. When will you ever understand? I need to fulfill the mission, and for that all these adharmic kings will have to leave. It's you. Yes, and you fight for me on the side of Dhritarashtra. Wow! I shall fight for you and against you. Kshatriya. Very good, said Krishna. Very good. So it shall be. The third way is a way of surrendering to Krishna, wherever you are, not just in difficult situations. And this turning to Krishna is exactly the point why Krishna came. We will read the text. I'm sorry, I'm just in the introduction of the text. I have not yet started. Bhavesmin klishamananam. Avidya kama karma bi. Shravana smaranarhani. Karisyan iti ketchana. Bhavismin klishyamananam. Avidya kama karma bi. Shravana smarana hani. Karishyan iti ketchana. This verse is spoken by Queen Kunti in her wonderful prayers to Krishna. In this section of her prayers, she deals with the question, why did Krishna appear at all in this miserable world? What was his purpose? And she introduces various opinions, and one is, and yet others say that you appeared with the only purpose to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. No? You appeared to give strength, new energy to the devotional services of hearing, remembering, and worshipping, so that the people who are really grabbed by misery can take advantage and get liberation. And Prabhupada writes, in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts means he makes the strong point, very assertive point. The Lord asserts that he appears in every millennium just to establish the way of religion. The way of religion is made by the Supreme Lord. No one can manufacture a new path of religion, as is the fashion for certain ambitious persons. Those who read Prabhupada's books know that Prabhupada here speaks of Dharma and translates it, no? As religion. The factual way of religion is to accept the Lord as the supreme authority and thus render service unto him in spontaneous love. Now, he's the Lord of your life, not you. He is supreme authority. A living being cannot help but render service because he's constitutionally made for that purpose. The only function of the living being is to render service to the Lord. The Lord is great, and the living beings are subordinate to him. Therefore, the duty of the living being is just to serve him only. Unfortunately, the illusioned living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses by material desire. This desire is called avidya, or nations, ignorance. It's a problem, these desires. And out of such desire, the living being makes different plans for material enjoyment, centered about a perverted sex life. Prabhupada doesn't speak against sex life per se. No, he speaks of something which is not bringing you forward, a perverted. He therefore becomes entangled in the chain of birth and death by transmigrating into different bodies on different planets under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Unless, therefore, one is beyond the boundary of nations, when you are out of nations, one cannot get free from the threefold miseries of material life. That is the law of nature. So, this needs help. Every conditioned soul is attached. The Lord, out of his causeless mercy, because he is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they can expect. He's more merciful than you can expect. He appears before them and renovates the principles of devotional service comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, cooperating, and surrendering unto him. Adoption of the above-mentioned items, or any one of them, can help a conditioned soul get out of the tangle, tangle means like entanglement, of nations, and thus become liberated from all material sufferings created by the living being, illusioned by the external energy. This particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of... That's not so obvious. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada says. Yeah, so Krishna, seeing that it is difficult for us to let go of the tug of the rope, you know, the very rope which gives us so much miseries. Don't you see, your hands are already white. Soon they will start bleeding if you continue like this. Don't you see, you won't win this struggle. Why don't you let go and pray? Hare Krishna. Why don't you let go and pray? When you pray, it's necessary to practice what is known as alignment. We have heard yesterday about Narottam's art of prayer, and it starts all with samprata atmika. Sam means total, pratana means prayer, and atmika, atmika, samprata atmika, means with the various aspects of yourself. That means the body, the mind, and the heart. That's total prayer. It's not lip service, as we said, to give a Schlagwort, a key point. It is heart service. It's heart deep, not lip deep. This is how you can, you know, there's a lot of science around this, but I will not bore you here. Also, as you know, I'm not such a scientist to be taken very serious when I talk about science. But I've read some good analysis that if a person brings feelings, emotions to his words become powerful. Either when he talks with someone and he really says, please forgive me, I'm serious. And the other person, when it's a serious emotion which is behind these words, magic can happen in relationships. The moment we bring our total self to what we are doing, everything, all the aspects, my dear devotees, miracles are bound to happen. Especially in prayer, the moment we bring all the aspects of ourself to the prayer, you are already like that. That is what Vipula had a very good question or point even. You are already on the spiritual platform. You are already there. You don't lack anything any longer. You are now heard by Krishna, and he will certainly act. When you are doing kirtan, this is always what Professor Weber says, you are already in paradise. He is a Christian. He says it in a Christian way. What we would say, when you do kirtan, you are already with Krishna or in Vaikuntha. Prabhupada used to say this, no? Our temples are not in the material world, but they are in Vaikuntha. Now, after the prayer, I want to say this again. Listen, Krishna will answer in his own way. I think yesterday we turned to Krishna and we tried to listen, and whatever came up, that is an answer. Like to one of, I talked to one of you, what came up for you? And he said, well, I understood I shouldn't expect. And I thought, what a wonderful answer. Isn't that we make our life so complicated by expectations? Let go of expectation. That was your answer. Whatever comes when you have a serious prayer, I do not know if it was possible for all of us yesterday to enter. Certainly something very, very amazing came to me. I still need a few moments to digest it. It's very inspiring, but really out of the box. I didn't think of it. Listen and understand, Krishna will come in his own way. And be patient. Sometimes the answer will come after some time when you are more mature to hear the answer. There are certain things which we are not yet mature enough to hear. If the child in the first, or let us say third level of mathematics, if he wants to know stuff, or that's an English subjects of mathematics which are taught on the ninth level, if there is such a level, he wouldn't understand. So sometimes he has to go through a few other phases so that he can understand and live by the answer. No? So be patient. Listen and be patient. And in the meantime, be active. Do not just wait in your life. Do not just sit in your life. Do not just be a couch potato in your life. Be active. As much as intelligence you have at the moment, use that and be active. It may be that this is Krishna has chosen to reveal himself then. I remember I once heard in one lecture a beautiful illustration. It was about a flood catastrophe. There was a man, the water came higher and higher and higher, the man who was living in his house had to go to the first story. Then he had to go to the, will have to help me, is it called the addict or what is it? The attic, der Dachboden in Deutsch, the attic. And then the water still rose and he had to climb through the window, and then he finally sat on the roof and he said, prayed, God help me, please help me, it's all, the water is coming, oh my God, is it coming. So that time came a boat with motorboat from the evacuation team, and said, you look like you need some help, get in the boat. He said, no, God will come, you may, I have prayed, you may move on. They said, man, this is not a time of joke. No, I've prayed, I'm very good Christian, I'm very good Hare Krishna. So he moved, but he wouldn't get in the boat, so the boat had moved on. But a helicopter came by, last chance, coming down the ladder, you know, movable ladder, came down. There was a man with saving suit, you know, very, very properly dressed for saving. He said, come on, this is your chance. We are happy we got some news. There's still one person. He said, you may go. God will come. Come on, don't joke. No, I'm staying here. God will come and save me. So the helicopter had to leave. You cannot do anything against a person's will. That's illegal. By the law, you're punishable. So then the flood came and the man died. When he was in heaven, he said, God, why did you not come and save me? I'm very disappointed. And God answered, I came twice. First on the motorboat and then in the helicopter. But you didn't see my help. My dear devotees, pray and then act according to your intuitions, your better knowledge. And in the process, as you are acting, Krishna might reveal himself and give the answer. But don't put your hands on the back and so on. Look again. That activity may be a window of opportunity which the Lord has opened to you. The activity which you can do at this moment and which is right before you may be his way of opening the door for you. He doesn't always answer the prayers in the way in which the limited brain of the human being expects his prayers to be answered, and so on. Good. This is, I would like to give you a summary. Entering the new year with strength, I suggest to you to consider the third way. Not your own way, not just becoming, inactive, but trying to find out what Krishna wants. And the way, and trying to go by the strengths of Krishna, the cat way, you remember the analogy of the cat. And by that way, it is sure that you will be moving forward, not on your own strengths, but on the unlimited strength of the Lord, which He gives you. I wish you all the best. I wish you that you will from time to time turn to the gift which you received yesterday when you were on the the devotees came around and gave you your key and your prayer card. I think if you use it as a reading mark to whatever book you're reading, then this very mark will remind you of the third way, and then you will move forward with confidence and with the strength of Krishna. I can see in the atmosphere we are ready to move on, no? Our cars are in the starting mood. Our mind is, yes, I'm Maharaj, good, 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 good. Let us go, let us go. We are enthusiastic. Sangamela was, I learned what I had to learn. I have my point. I'm going. Yes, please move on. And I must say, I think Gaurahari will also be there. Good. I must say it was just wonderful to be in your association. It's just, you know, I'm sitting here, I know, and I'm often giving lectures. But I receive so much in your Sangha. It becomes alive when there are devotees who genuinely want to go forward in their spiritual life. It is infectious, ansteckend. And you were again a wonderful company, and we again I say, because we have this every year, and already many of you come regularly to the Sangha Mela, so therefore, and you know, this is we try to be as good as spiritual as possible, as Krishna consciousness, and also as human, as humanly natural as we are. No, everything that's not a contradiction, that is necessary to be real in spiritual life. And it was a very nice program. I sincerely wish you all the best. I really hope that if you will forget many things, I do know I also forget many things which I hear, but please do take the present with you and remember it stands for something. It stands for the third way. Let go and pray. That's the third way. Just in closing, I want to say I have talked over the years with Gaurahari, Vishwadev, Bhagavad Dharma, and others who are overseeing the project, and there are some amazing plans, and not plans, it's a vision in which we actively work already. Work has started a few months ago when Rasa Mandala was invited. It's a sincere effort to make this beautiful project. It's, you know, you can see already building places, you know, there will be construction in this part, and guest house which is open to the public, many, many things, a yoga pavilion, many things are happening there, so that the project opens itself more to the wonderful people who are searching genuinely for spiritual answers in their lives. So this part, which you know, Goloka Dham, which you know, will always remain like it is. We call this the Vrindavan part, and that the Mayapur part. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is opening the floodgates of mercy. So that's Mayapur, this Vrindavan. And I request you to remain connected with the project. There are web pages, and you have also friends here. Remain connected and consider it a personal pilgrimage place, because you speaking very, very, very truthfully, Radha Madan Mohan are Radha Madan Mohan. They are very, very, very powerful deities and very accessible, zugänglich. So you can please think of this as your program, project, even program if you want. Come throughout the year. There's always at this stage you can also engage in, it's called in English a sabbatical, in Deutsch eine Auszeit, where you just take time out of your life and just spend 1 month, 2 months, whatever, in serious spiritual life that empowers you and helps you to really, let me say, become safe on your spiritual path, become safe and, so that you're not influenced by what happens in your life and you can just go safely and then contribute also to the lives of others. So please remain connected with Goloka Dham. And yes, I will not be able to take questions because the time factor is there, and I do know that devotees have very realistic times where they need to catch trains, planes, vimanas, bicycles, or whatever they came with. So let us please wait for Gaurahari. He will give us some concluding directions. I will say, Gaura Premanandi! Jai Jai Sri Radhe! Jai Jai Sri Radhe! Jai